warning. What you're about to experience may get offensive, sexual and orgasmic. Relax, you'll like it when Sapphire's through with you. Pour the wine and press play for Sapphire Zero Play.
What is up, all my sexy motherfuckers out there in Radio Land? It's your girl, Miss Radio Sapphire, Sapphire for short. Miss Sapphire, you're extra fucking nasty. And I know it's not Wednesday, but I have a very special, special treat. Now, usually once in a while, I'll do these specials called One Night in Sapphire. And tonight, One Night in Sapphire is with my girl, Haley Gwynn. Yes. I absolutely love her. Now, Haley is a dating, like, expert.
Right. I'm like a feminist pickup artist.
Yes.
Mash up with really dorky hand gestures and a UK accent.
I did learn they still raise the roof in the UK. I went out with her and her buddies last weekend, and
the Brits.
Yes. It was actually really weird being like the only American at the table. I was like, holy shit.
What did you think of the British accent in the end? Hot or not?
It was hot. It definitely is hot.
Despite the fact that English people were generally like pasty and kind of a bit out of shape.
Oh, miserable. No, you guys were anything but miserable. You guys were awesome. Yeah, her friends are awesome. True. They're all attractive. I was like, I love the accents, and then I love the voices. Oh my God. And then they look hot. Like, I need to find me a bloke. That's what I need to do.
A bloke. That's the correct term.
I need a true bloke.
Fit, but you know it.
Yes, I need one. Gotta hook it up, Haley.
I know. Well, you know, I taught you the terminology that basically in England we know.
Yes.
If there's like hot, you say fit.
Fit.
Fit. They fit.
I was hearing that a lot in my British series, and I'm like, why the fuck are they calling this person fit? Because he's anything but fit. I'm like, I go to the gym, this motherfucker ain't skit, and he's not like fat, but he's not like fit. Oh. But then I realize fit is hot. So if someone is ugly, do you just straight up call them ugly, or do you call them something else?
Let me try to think if there's any good English ropey.
Ropey?
Yeah, so you say that girl was a bit ropey.
Is that like ratchet?
Yeah, I think okay. So. Or it's like I'm just speaking because I live in Shoreditch in East London, so we're like okay. The slightly more rough and ready crew.
Sounds so, like the more rough and ready and so proper. She sounds so proper.
But I'm not like everybody's this. Like no. I always
get scared to curse in front of you. I'm like, oh my God, is she gonna like, excuse me, ma'am, madam? No, it is not bitch.
It's from East London, in it. I like thinking some other ones. You'd say dark, like as in it was dark. It could mean like a bad situation.
Oh, I like
or
that.
If said with a different inflection, mm-hmm. It could mean like, oh, the party was really dark. It could be like really good.
Ooh.
Dark.
I'm gonna use ropey. That. Ropey. I like ropey for sure. Ropey for sure. Be like, man, I went out with this chick and she was so damn ropey. Ropey.
It does what it says on the tin though, right? It's like obvious what it means.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, just all above the rim kind of thing. I like that. Okay. Remnant. I like it. Now, other things I'm going to like tonight. Now, as we said, that Haley is a pickup artist, hardcore feminist, but she's not like crazy feminist, you guys. She's not going to be like, fuck you, burn your bras.
Yeah, I don't want to say all the men that listen turn the podcast off.
Right?
No, I'm the kind of like he for she feminist that I just think fundamentally, like, it would be great if we all were able to speak to each other more easily, if we're able to have more sexual relationships, if we're able to date more freely. The way that we get to that is through educating men and women to communicate better and to understand one another.
Man.
And to be open and to understand that we're actually usually working towards the same things. And I think my problem is a lot of the time with dating is we get into these conversations, it actually reinforces the division between men and women.
It definitely does. And especially because the way technology is nowadays, I mean, we were just talking about it earlier. It's the way that people respond to each other on text message, for instance. Right. Text doesn't emote your feelings. So, of course, if you're telling somebody the correct thing, they're going to think you're arguing with them. Or, like, you know, you've seen my messages with certain individuals.
I have read the threads.
And it's like, I'm just reiterating what you asked me last night. For instance, perfect example. So Squints, everybody, we all know who Squints is. I reached out to him and I was just like, hey, miss talking to you, hope everything's well. Things started off casually. Then all of a sudden, he asked me what my plans were today and I said, well, we talked about this. I'm going to hang out with Haley, doing a podcast. Can't do anything. He gets butt hurt and says, I was asking you a different question. Like,
yeah, I agree with acting 89. People's like, you go talk in person. It's so much easier. Or voice notes. Voice notes and what?
Voice notes do save lives.
They do, because it makes it clear.
It does.
Otherwise, you know what? Like, and don't you find that sometimes it's just like some people you talk to, you just have these confrontational relationships with them, and you've never even met them in real life. You've met them barely in real life. They're like, we're already arguing, and we own our relationship. It's just via message at the moment. This is not bode well.
All the time. And it's like, I think what makes it worse is because we are such a social media age now that you gotta worry about, okay, if I put the wrong emoji or emoji, whatever the fuck you call it now, is that gonna receive the person well, or are they going to like laugh at me? Like, I like to put the laughing crying face after every argument, because it's like, you sound like an idiot. I don't wanna call you an idiot, but it's like, I'm laughing at the fact that you sound like an idiot right now when I just simply told you no. Or if I'm simply telling you a question, you ask me again and again, but you're trying to ask me different ways. Oh no, I can get you some more wine, girl.
Maybe that's it. That'll fix it.
Wine fixes the problems, everybody.
In London, it's gin, I have to say. We'll get a gin.
Oh,
that's it. That's even my nan will go in for that. Oh. So I was going to say, on the topic of you can just say no, we were talking about this in the car journey over, right? And like, when it comes to any kind of sexual relationship, mm-hmm. and this is something I feel really strongly about, because I've had so many female friends, and I'm sure it must have happened to male friends as well, they've got themselves in a scenario where they've gone back to somebody's house, they are obviously, to an extent, interested in them.
Yes!
Some form of physical contact has begun, and then at some point they've ended up just, then they're like, they've ended up hooking up, and I was like, well, did you want to hook up? And they're like, it wasn't like this person, you know, like, it wasn't anything forceful. It was definitely consensual. Mm-hmm. But if I could have done over that moment again,
I wouldn't have done it.
I just felt a bit guilty, because by this point we're already naked and like stuff has happened, right. And I'd had like a couple of drinks, and I thought I should probably just go along with it. And like, I just feel like such a passionate need to champion, like, not just go along with it. And I think it's so cool. Like, I've been legitimately experimenting with this in my own life. It's just to say, you know what? I don't feel mentally or whatever, emotionally fully on board with this. So this is good for me right now. I'm gonna draw the line. I'm ordering an Uber or a Lyft. Peace out.
Right.
Bye.
And guys, don't get butthurt if a girl does that. Like,
that's good. She's communicating her emotional right. needs. That's so much better than her going through with something she's not comfortable with.
And let's be honest, would you really, if you had a good time with the girl, she's nice, she's hot, you guys had good conversation, maybe the making out was great, mm-hmm. but it just wasn't right for the sex. Would you really want to deal with a girl who was like just basically an A1 package? And then you have really shitty sex? Because let's be honest, regardless if you are the type of person that is like me, for instance, I like to judge a person off of sex. If I can't have good sex with you, I really cannot continue things with you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like a friend where it's like, okay, we had sex and oh, we solved our friendship. But it's like, if I'm purposely meeting these guys or girls to solely hook up with, maybe have a companionship with, and the sex isn't good.
See, I think there's a logic, right? So we were gonna talk about, because I do feminist pickup artists, mm-hmm. which is like the mashup of these two crazy worlds, but it really, honestly, it works, because don't you find that sometimes the guys that come across as the biggest players or are actually secretly, they actually have the most progressive values at heart.
Yes! You know?
They're like really, they are down and they're cool for women being sexual and expressing themselves in a way that perhaps more conservative or traditional guys aren't. And what I'm a huge fan of is thinking about dating and really flipping it around, and instead of abiding by the traditional dating rules, really asking, does this actually really make sense with where we are at in 2017? And a good example of that is having sex with somebody on the first night.
Oh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. The great debate where people are like, oh, I never do that. Like, come on. I was just telling Haley, like, we all are humans. Humans have needs. Mm-hmm. And it's been scientifically proven. Human touch is the most addicting thing that a person can crave.
Right.
You know, second from the drugs and the alcohol, human touch is really what people really seek to be. That's why they say, you know, skin to skin is the best contact, mm-hmm. when first giving birth. Skin to skin contact with your partner. Skin to skin contact really is a very sexual thing, even if it's not meant to be sexual. Mm-hmm. We all
love a good touch.
Right, so let's just like debunk this for a second, because I like to like go through the logic and actually say this is not right. Okay, so I guess I'm gonna say it's more like a male to a female to male thing, because traditionally, though I disagree with this obviously, they said that women would be more like relationship driven, mm-hmm. and the guy, obviously guys want sex, women want relationships, of course, it's that binary. So because of that, a girl might not have sex with a guy on the first night, even if they've got all the chemistry, because she's worried that he is going to judge her as being non-girlfriend or non-wife material based on the fact that she's given up sex so easily. Now, this is wrong.
I'm rolling my eyes because it's so true.
On so many levels. Okay, so first of all, women out there, do you really feel that your value as a person, your value is dictated by how long you withhold sex for? Like, is that really what you've got to roll with in that? Is that really what you've got to offer? Because if you say that actually, you know what, I don't want him to undervalue me, I don't want to give away sex too easily, you're basically saying none of my personhood, none of my selfhood is that important. My real big bargaining chip in all of this is my physical body.
Right.
Which goes back to women being possessions, which goes back to all kinds of awful stuff in history. Don't like it. Secondly, here's what I think. If you want to, and like I'm also said a huge fan of, if you're not 100% in the zone, you know what, you take or leave sex whenever you want it. Like,
exactly.
Get him to rub your shoulders, fuck off. Get him to give you a head, fuck off.
Like get what you want and just leave.
Know where your personal boundaries are. Yeah. So I'm not saying you have to have sex, but if you want to have sex and you feel like the chemistry is there and it's good, I would just, instead of worrying like, oh, but I really like this guy, what if he doesn't call in the morning? I would literally think, well, right now, I've just met him, so I'm not that emotionally invested, so we've got great chemistry, so I'm gonna enjoy this. You know what? If he is the kind of liberal, intelligent guy who's also happens to be in the right emotional headspace to be available to me for a relationship, he will recognize that we've got a connection here, and he will want to see me again, because obviously if you have a good emotional and sexual connection with someone, it's normal to want to see them again.
It's like, of course, all the time.
And if he is the guy that's sitting there thinking, well, I just really like her, but you know what? Now she's given it away so easily, and now I've already taken her body. There's nothing more I need for her, and because I could never see her as my wife, because she must have done this to all the men that are out there. I just think, what a retard. Fuck off. Like, you are better off without him.
Okay. So you bring so many good points on that. And so let's talk about this one comment that you just made. She's such a lovely girl, basically, but she gave it all away. The biggest double standard, and it brings it back to what we're talking about with sexual history. You know, I think the problem is also society still, no matter how progressive we say that society is, the minute a girl says that she's had multiple sexual partners, mm-hmm. there is a stigma. There is a symbol, the letter A, the scarlet letter. We've all read it. If you've never read it or seen the movie, we've all heard about it. But it's like, there is public ridicule. The minute a girl says, I just had really bomb sex with the guy who wasn't my boyfriend last night.
Mm-hmm. And then I may have had sex with another guy the next night. It's getting more controversial.
Right.
But it goes back to the thing where basically the assumption is like the penis, the more you use it, it gets sturdier.
Stronger. You're
better.
More of a man.
You're more of a man. Well done, you.
Yes.
For a woman, vagina is like this best analogy I heard from a feminist once is like a vagina is like Kleenex. Like the more use it, the more it gets fucked up. And it's not true.
No.
Like, for fuck's sake. So it's.
If anything, it gets more stronger, guys. If you ever wonder why your woman's vagina might be a little bit stronger than the last one you had sex with, maybe because she knows what the fuck she's doing. She's got practice, y'all. Like, let's be honest. No one wants to go in life and wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I wish to God I have really horrible sex. I hope the girl that I fall in love with is a horrible lay, never gives me blowjobs, never gives me a hand job. Hell, she probably won't even take her clothes off in front of me when we have sex. Do we wake up feeling like that? No.
And you know what also happens? It's like the problem. So there's a problem, right? If women who give sex freely mm-hmm. can't be wife material,
no,
because they're a whore and they give it away to everyone, so they're not valuable or precious anymore, dictated by your standards. If that's what happens, you know what that creates? A market for pause.
Pause, yes.
Because men still want to have sex, they want to have lots of sex, but they have to then start dividing up the women, that these are the good wifey ones, because I can't handle the fact that she fucks some other guys. And these are whores, like, they don't mean anything.
Right.
They don't have any value in our society.
No, oh, they're just used for sex.
They have no value. And it's just, that is a fucked up division of women I will not tolerate. Because you know what?
Women. I can't even understand it. Like, I can't fathom it. Because it's like, first of all, again, we're humans. We crave things. We need things to keep going, okay? It's normal. But then at the same time, like you said, it's like that beast. You're feeding that beast, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then then all of a sudden it's just like, it's too much to handle.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much to handle. Oh, I can't do this. Too many women are being promiscuous, can't handle it.
Right.
Can't do it.
Right.
Can't
it's
do
like,
it anymore.
It's like, look, they're getting out of control. Someone control them.
Exactly. Yes. They're not mature.
They're not mature. But it's like, to the guys out there, like, okay, you want to have sexual relationships. You want to be able to walk up to a woman, you know, say hello to her. If you've got a connection, you want to be able to move things forward with her romantically, sexually, whatever you're mm-hmm. in the mood. Making women feel non-embarrassed and non-awkward and not judged around sexuality is such like a key part of like men and women coming together and less bullshit and everyone happier. It's when we start dividing women up and actively perpetuating the belief mm-hmm. that there are good women who are suitable for wifing and then there are bad girls.
Women.
It's like, fuck that. I was like, I'm sorry, but like anyone who believes that there's a good woman, I'm sorry, she's a woman. She's a human. She's a person.
We have flaws.
She's gonna have flaws. She's gonna have sexual desires. She's gonna have some nasty parts to herself. Likewise, you know what? Sometimes like the whore, you know what? She can be a fucking awesome individual.
Yes!
Female sexuality is not mother or whore. We are both. We are everything at once. And that is like the beauty of the feminine.
And that's the thing too. Even when you talk about the beauty of the feminine, like people don't understand. Because when they hear the word feminism, they're like, oh, it's a lesbian. You're a lesbian. You hate men. You don't worship the penis and all that.
I'm actually going to show you. I've got shaved armpits.
See, she has shaved armpits, y'all. The European guidelines did not fill.
I did pee in front of somebody earlier. That was like, I was doing a YouTube collaboration with a girl, and she was like, oh, I'm sorry, my bathroom's cut, my toilet's cut in the room. I was like, I'm European, babe.
I can do this. I'll pop a squat anywhere in front of you.
It's fine. We're all sisters here. But the point is, I'm so passionate about this because I feel like when I'm giving dating advice, and I also give dating advice to guys as well. It's not just women. But the thing is, it's like, unless we start creating a more interesting discussion. Have you read some interesting comments?
Oh, I have an interesting comment here. This man has no idea.
Okay, let me sort him out.
Okay, so we're on Facebook Live, Instagram Live, and then I'm also on Periscope. Mr. MMJ57 says, subject matter tonight, dividing up women. We're not dividing up women, sir. We're talking about sexual history. Haley just so happens to be a feminist pickup artist, and we have been talking about...
Yes, these things exist.
Yeah, but it's
true in that, like, historically, we've divided up women and we're trying to break down the barriers.
Yes, that's what we're trying to do.
Bring them back together. Okay, so
We're trying to say that, honestly, it is okay for both a man and a woman to enjoy sex as freely, safely and freely as possible. But the thing is, society is the one that divides us up. And then there are men out there who make it worse and divide up these women even more.
And women, I have to say, they reinforce that shit as well. They're like, you know what? Oh, she shouldn't look at
she
her.
She shouldn't have
look at her looking all trashy. She should put some. And I want to say, like, to all the women as well out there in the world who say, well, you know, she shouldn't have done this. And I want to say, shut up.
Right.
You're part of the same thing.
You are part of the problem.
I've met men who are far more progressive than some women that I've met, you know, and it's important that we acknowledge what's going on here. Like, my goals are, I want to make it easier for men and women to talk to one another.
Mm-hmm.
I want us to assess each other as people on our value systems and to experience each other. You know what? I hang out with you. I spend some time with you. We work out. We get along with one another. I see how you treat me. I see how you feel in my company. Rather than just having a Google of someone, judging them on their sexual history and reinforcing stereotypes that have been around for
ages,
thousands of years, I know everything is a social construct, but if we go back to like ancient Greece, for instance.
I was just about to say it, and I think I know what you're about to say.
I'm gonna go ancient Greece. Okay. So women at that point were divided up into three categories. You had wives who bore legitimate children. They were rarely allowed to leave the oikos or the home. Mm-hmm. Then you had hetairai, which were basically women that you'd go out and party with.
So the harems, everybody.
That's probably what I would like to think that's what I would have been. You know,
yeah.
They'd have had a drink with you, had a dance, you know, you've had some sex with them, and you would have had some sex with the guys that were available as well, because they were cool with that ancient Greece. Then you would have had pornei, which were literally sex slaves that you kept in the house, and their sole function was sex. So we had this division of women that went from legitimate wives to like courtesans to, you know, sexual slaves, and for loads of awful reasons, in some manifestation or another, a lot of these stereotypes live on. And every time that we start buying into this, even with dating advice, which is why I'm so like, from a woman, if you're a woman listening to this and you're going through that thought process of, well, actually, I actually would like to have sex with him tonight, but I'm not doing it solely on the grounds I'm worried he's going to judge me as like non-wife material. Here is what I would say to you. I'd be like thinking, first of all, if he judges you as non-wife material on the fact that you had a great connection, you had great sex, fuck him.
Yes, like, seriously, he's not worth it.
He's not husband material. He's obviously too stupid to be your husband. He's going to judge you. And you know what? If he judges you on that, he'll judge you on a bunch of other stuff as well. So
get
rid of him.
Get out while you're
rid of him.
And the fact that you were bringing up ancient Greece, perfect example. Because if you go back to, you know, history, and you see the role of women in history, more importantly, first, women are, you know, expected to just bore children, care for the husband, care for the house, and be done with it. And then, like you said, you've got the subcategories of, you know, the women who were instruments for sex. I mean, it doesn't matter where you go around the globe, you will see the same thing repeating throughout history. In Chinese history, you see that, especially in the Asian cultures. I mean, you have the geisha. You have the prim and proper geisha, the woman who is, you know, dainty, fair-skinned, made up all the time, and she's supposed to serve her man and bow at his grace. But in behind closed doors, she's sexually serving him. And then you see in American culture, we have hookers, we have call girls, we have strippers, we have pornography. And again, all use as tools for sex. Now, where I stand with pornography though, and a lot of people look at me side-eye, I'm like, at the end of the day, the woman is kind of in charge. You see it all the time. One penis, five bevy women's. The ultimate fantasy, right, in the guy's eye. But at the end of the day, who's controlling that penis?
Mm-hmm.
Who is controlling the pleasure? The women are controlling the pleasure. The pleasure is all theirs, and it's in their hands. The man is the one that has to pump that cum into her. That man is just the sexual tool. So it's almost like a reverse with the roles of women and leading into the sexual history. It's like, you know, like I said, history.
Well, I think what I like is like with sex, it's a submission on both sides, mm-hmm. right? Like, okay, yeah, like you'd say that the woman sometimes that a man will physically dominate her in some senses, and sometimes that's pleasurable to her. But then also when the man comes, he submits to the women. So it's like, you know what, like, we're meant to submit to each other and just try to get along. You know, this is not men versus women, but I think we enter into so many problems mm-hmm. when we start to think, okay, I'm not gonna be her boyfriend because she had sex with me on the first night, or I'm not gonna be her boyfriend because she's had too many sexual partners in the past, so sorry, she's no good anymore.
And let's be honest, guys, and I mean guys, like men and women, so everyone, we're in an age where sexual numbers is becoming a game. I mean, you look at the early stages of Tinder. You've been on Tinder.
I've
been on Tinder. And in the early stages, it says, keep playing. Not keep swiping, keep playing. Because
it's a gamification.
It's a game. It is.
Sex, right, uh-huh.
It is a hot or not thing. We all play this in high school. You have a list of girls, or you have a picture, a book of girls of who's hot or not, or who's in between super light. That's what it is. They have made these dating apps, these so-called dating apps, let's be all honest, they're all sexting apps in the first place. These are all games. This is all a numbers game. Who's gonna swipe right to fuck me first? That's what it is. Mm-hmm. And if you're saying, oh, I'm on Tinder for a genuine connection, you are in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot tell you how much of a turnoff it is when people put on their profile, I'm not into hookups.
Okay, that's, I have to jump in on this one because as a dating coach, I would genuinely advise never to write on your profile, not into hookups.
Thank you.
It's negative, it's rule of, it's trying to state a rule that, you know what, unfortunately you can't, there is no dating app, whether it's, I actually would believe whether it's Tinder, Bumble, Happen, Hinge, Match, Zeus, whatever app or space you're on, there's gonna be some people on there that are using it for just sexual, thank you, girl. Sexual relations, other people who are looking for relationships. That it, you can't trick that by trying to find the app or the site where, like, this is the question I get asked by women all the time. Where is the website where all the good guys are?
Oh, God!
That is such a dumb, I'm sorry, that's a dumb question. It's dumb, I understand why you're, what space you're coming from when you're right. asking that question. I understand your need, but that's a dumb question.
It's a horrible question to ask.
It's a dumb question because if you think about it, it's like, it's not that they're, first of all, what is a good guy? That's very fucking subjective.
It's just like the same thing, what's a good girl? What categorizes a good girl and a bad girl?
And then
or a bad
you,
man and a good one and a bad, a good man.
Uh-huh. And after you add all that together, it's like, it's not like the good men, whoever they are, they had a consortium and they all agreed to go mm-hmm. on one dating site. You know, there's people that want, like, there's people that want hookups on Tinder, there's people that, that are open to relationships, same on Match or whatever site you're using. You have to actually get this, use your brain as a human and work out through how someone is engaging with you, what they're up for, and then you have to be very clear about stating what your needs are, but don't just write it on your profile. It's just off-putting.
It is. You know, like, it's very off-putting. And it's like, not to cut you off, but it's like, it honestly defeats the purpose of why you're here. You want someone's attention, but you're automatically putting yourself in a category of, oh, fuck this person. They just said I'm not into hooking up.
I know, and you know what? Like, I have to say, this is more of a woman problem. This is, and you know what they would say? And I say this to you women, like, I'm like beating my chest, like, I'm a feminist. I fucking give a shit, like, about women and women and women's rights. But it's like, girl, you're not doing yourself any favors if you write, no short guys, no hookups, no guys who work in this. I'm just like, it's just a bunch of no. Like,
right.
You know, what if you want to meet someone, be fractionally open-minded to experiencing different people. One of the guys that is rocking my world at the moment, he's shorter than me. I don't give a shit. Like, he's awesome.
Listen,
like,
guys, short guys, go to Haley. Okay, I would say I like short men, but I'm short as fuck. Like, people don't realize, they, like, until they meet me, they're like, God damn, you are really short. I'm like 5'3", so I already look like a pubescent child.
I'm 5'3".
I am 5'3".
You've got more presence than that in person.
I got more presence in person, damn right. More tits and all that shit, upright. But seriously, it's like at the same time, it's crazy.
You know, so I just think when you're going into dating, going no to this, no to that, no to something else, you're just a bunch of, like, that's just that is the wrong attitude.
Oh, you my
gotta,
God.
You gotta go, this is what my attitude is. You go, look, I'm open to opportunities. I'm gonna see how people present themselves in my life. Some people are gonna turn up, and you know what the other thing is, if you go and you're like, I really want a relationship, not everyone is gonna be a relationship person.
No.
You gotta take people as you find them. Some people are gonna be like, great for a night, great for a week, great for forever, for the rest of your lives. You accept people as you find them and take time to get to know people in person. It fucking, I have to say, as an internet person, it annoys me so much. The amount of times I get a guy who's like, before we've even hung out, I try to conceal my identity. Not because I'm a deceptive person, but because I fucking hate the fact people go, oh, I watched your TED talk.
Right.
I watched your YouTube videos. And they get this idea of your personality and they build up an image of you. And in fact, I think it's so important that no one is an ideal person. Like, everyone's a real person, and it's, you've got to take the time to get to know them, and there's not a shortcut to that.
Exactly. And I'm glad that you brought this up too, because Haley and I are both, you know, people of the public. We are in the public eye. So Haley brings up a really good point about, you know, yeah, we might meet some guys or girls who might be fans of certain work, okay? Like I said, Haley is a dating coach. She's done a TED talk. Like, how I'm friends with this girl and how she's on my fucking show, I don't know. The girl's done a lot of shit, and we're both around the same age, and I'm just like, Jesus Christ, I love you. And at the same time, we are people of the spotlight, and we do put out a certain image that the public is gonna like. But at the end of the day, we are, you know,
people.
Yeah, we're people. We strip down and we're regular, honest people looking for honest connections at the same time. Mm-hmm.
And I've had some brutal things, you know. I'm going to bring this up. I'm going to bitch about it. I've literally had people who have like gone through my like guys I've been into, gone through my podcast, gone through my history, come to set up assumptions about me. And you know what? Like, assumption is such a dangerous game to get into. It's like when you go, oh my god, this guy didn't call me. That must mean that he dislikes me, or it means the sex was bad. You don't know that until you actually communicate. People, we need to communicate with each other. So if you want a relationship, it's so simple. It's so simple. First of all, you believe that people want to have relationships with you because they do. Like, lots and lots of people out there will meet you and they want to have a, you know, monogamous, committed relationship.
All the time.
All the time. So don't think that that is a rare thing to find. It's really common. Go in with that belief. Then just have the mindset is, you know, I believe that this is what's going to happen to me. Then I'm also going to communicate, like, hey, you know, that's what I'm interested in. So just say, of course, if I have a good connection with someone, I want to explore that as a relationship. Oh. You know, and you just, so right from the get-go, it's like, you know where you stand. You are not waiting for them to dictate the pace of the relationship. You know where you stand, and you just have to work out whether the person you're engaging with, if you are compatible or not. And if you're not, it's not a big deal. There is a lot of people out there.
There's a lot of people. I mean, there are billions of people out there in the world, and yet people get so mad over one text, one comment, anything. At the end of the day, if I'm telling you, yes, here's my radio work, but please get to know me as a person, do the time and get to know me as a person, because it is a little scary when people are like, oh, I love your work. And and they talk about your work.
Oh my god, you know what I get?
As if you're not a person.
Like, I got a message from a guy earlier today, and I went on one date with him like 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. Met him at yoga, wasn't really feeling it. Didn't tell him didn't go into details what I did, because I was like, I just want to just get to know someone properly. He sends me a message this morning saying, oh, I finally found out who you were.
Oh god.
And then he says, was I one of your experiments? And
I get that all the time.
And I almost text him back saying, don't flatter yourself, mate. And I stop myself, because I'm like, I could just cut you down. But it's just like that point of just indulging in this persona of you are, you know, in this day and age. Most people have personas. Like, I have all respect to people that don't have any social media, and that's eventually where I want to be. I'm going to go off-road.
I just found out that Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, yeah.
Ed Sheeran. He doesn't own a cell phone.
Well,
he does not own a cell phone. Oh, this man has no cell phone in the 21st
century. I always was like, Ed Sheeran, do you want to marry me? Is that awesome?
I mean, he seems like a great guy, but I'm like, how do you communicate with the outside world, and especially being a person of the people? I think it's awesome. More power to you.
Basically, my strategy is I'm going to put an amazing book out there, which is going to kick everyone's butts. It's going to be a feminist pickup artist Bible, which is going to bring together men and women in a really honest, awesome way.
Yes.
I'm going to re-interview all those guys that are in the game. So it's going to be, guys are going to be on board with it as well. I'm going to put out some amazing YouTube videos. I'm going to run my Hayley Quinn Club. And you know what? Then I'm going to PTFO, peace the fuck out.
Right.
I'm disappearing. I'm going, and I'm going to go just enjoy my life.
It's like, once That's you get it. To that hurdle, like me, I keep saying every day, I wake up and I'm like, I got to quit social media. I have to quit social media, because it honestly does ruin my chances of getting laid. I do get laid, but it's like, it ruins my chances of actually making a true connection with somebody, because I always do get like, oh, so I listen to your show and, you know, does every time you have sex, like, is it a show? And I'm like, no, you might pop up like 6 years from now.
You know, I had sex with a guy who's a much more notable person on social media, and I asked him the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he just sort of straight up said, he's like, you know what, it's not weird enough what's going on between us. It's like, he's like, this is perfectly normal. I'm talking about stuff that's really freaking freaky. So the point is, you don't live it. I think that a lot of the time I've been mistaken as well for just sharing material and content. Like, last week I went on the show that you produced.
Right, All Out Show.
The All Out Show. And I sort of said what my sexual number was. And I'm not doing it like to display my sexual number. Not there's anything particularly. I don't think
I caught your sexual number.
It's 15 men, 15 women, disclosing oral sex. I don't count oral sex.
Wait, Haley, I feel like a damn, like.
Whore?
Yes! I'm thinking like we're like, you know, oh, she's on my level, like we good girl.
But you know, like when past week, for instance, those two incidents don't count.
Hey, I'm just saying, it was oral sex. Oral sex does not count. Yeah. Okay, getting your pussy eaten is not sex. No, it's oral sex.
It's just chilling out.
Yeah, chilling out. Something was in his mouth. You're eating. You're having dinner. Okay.
Like some people would find oral sex so much more intimate than sex. And other people don't. Like, so you just find what your own parameters are around stuff and you just go with that.
Nothing kills me more. And I'll tell you, so the Lyft driver that I had sex with a couple weeks ago, guys, he told me that it was way too intimate to kiss me or to have oral sex. And he's like,
or he'll fuck you.
He said, oh, you know, kissing, that's an intimate thing, you know, eating your asshole. And he was like, man, you got a nice ass to like eat. And he like went down there and was like, oh yes, you gonna do this? Okay. Booty hole cleaning for you and everything. Freshly shaved, not shaved, but waxed. No. He said all that shit was way too intimate. But penetrating my insides, oh, that's not intimate at all. That's not intimate. My thing is, intimacy is when I start talking about my personal life as we're fucking. Okay? Intimacy on different levels. Yeah, I have sex. When I have sex with people, I don't have sex the way I would with every person. I feel a person out. Like, I have my dom. My dom and I, we don't have sex like I would with my normal...
I've seen the pictures.
Boys. Oh, yeah, she's seen the pictures. I like freaky shit, y'all. I like to be tied. I like to be spanked. I like to be paddled and, like, beat the shit out of with the right person. Okay? It's not everybody. Not everybody gets to whoop my ass.
She started drooling. Beat the shit out of with the right person.
With the right person.
When I say yes, it's true.
Like, I cannot just have sex, a dominant sex. I cannot have BDSM sex with anybody.
So here's the thing, right? This is what I was talking about. So I disclosed my sexual number. Not that it was anything. It was pretty.
It's so low. I'm still processing, you guys.
Hi, okay.
Y'all know I'm in the hundreds, like the high hundreds. It's bad.
No, it's not. It's neutral.
It is neutral.
It's neutral. See, I mean, this thing is neutral. It is a shit. And the thing is, it's like, honestly, like, I've had a guy that freaked out because he's like, what, it's more than, like, it's like more than three former caring users. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Like, what are you, 83? What are we, back in 1950s? I can't have sex with more than three people? It's weird.
Even my nan is there. My nan, who's 95 tomorrow, she was like saying, yeah, that deserves a little.
Throw it up for nan.
She's like, you know what, don't forget, my girl, to have fun. Because when you're my age, you're going to be remembering this time. So I'm like, okay, well, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what? My nana, she's all for it. Like, you know, she lost her husband and she said, like, I'm one and done. But she had her male suitors before she had my avo. And she told me,
This is my nan, proper, he's a good London girl. She, my granddad passed away when she was like in her early 60s, so she was 65. Oh. She met what she considered the love of her life and had a sexual and passionate relationship for the next 25 years.
Yes!
Had the best sex of her life.
There you go.
She gave up sex at 87. Mm-hmm.
See?
So it's just
old,
like,
people need love too, till the end.
It's true.
They need love.
So it's like,
the hospice cares, oh my God, those convalescence homes, they're up on the rise. But seriously, and again, when I tell people, I don't tell people all the time how many people I sleep with. Like, I'll tell certain people.
So how would you react? So let's work through this. Okay, please. You've been dating a guy, you haven't fucked him yet. He said how many people have you... So, I mean, also, like, you have to really think, why are you asking this question? Because the second you ask the question, it's like, there is no good answer to that question.
And there's no going back from it. Like, no matter how many times you say, oh, I'll be understanding, you're still gonna feel a little butthurt.
I actually really don't get... I feel more about, like, I literally don't give a shit how many people someone's had sex with in the past. Like, you could have your parameters for, like, commitment. Like, I think if you're in a commitment or a thing, that's cool. But I don't care what happened before. I care about how you treat me.
We're in the now.
I care about today. Right. I care about how honest you are. You know what? If you go out there and say, oh, you know what? I've had sex with about 563 women. I'm like, well, you know what? Respect. This guy's been fucking honest. And he's gone in there. And he knows that I might... reject him on that statement, and the fact that tells me that he's honest. That is so, that means that he's more honest than the guy that's shadily, you know, pretending that he's something that he's not.
And see, again, if I know that I'm gonna be serious with a person, if they ask me off the bat, I'm gonna tell them, and I'll be like, look. And I've had this conversation with an ex of mine, and of course, they hung it over my head until we broke up. And so my next person, if I decide to get into another relationship, I'm just gonna be like, look, this is my number. Think of it this way. It got me to you.
It got me to you.
That is it. Honey, fuck the numbers. 100 people went, came and gone, but you stayed, and that's it. Numbers are irrelevant.
I'm stealing that for tomorrow, because that is so true.
It's true.
My whole life made me appear in front of you today by some fucking weird, I don't know whether Tinder or real life, we met each other. We get on. We have a great session going. This is all amazing. We're lucking out here. Why ruin that
moment
for the sake of being like, oh, but I don't know, she probably had this with loads of other people in the past, and oh my god, other men's penises have been in her, and maybe their penises.
So what if other penises have been there? Like, think of it like this.
I felt like saying, like, when this happened to me, I was like, I'm really sorry. I didn't calculate that I was gonna meet someone that would have a problem with this, and so I lived 30 whole years of my life.
Right.
And now I am here before you.
Like, I'd rather someone tell me that they have some sexual experience rather than none. Like, if you had at least one partner, I can't fuck you. I'm gonna be honest. I don't like to fuck people who haven't had sex with more than at least 3 people.
15.
15. I'll say 15, because 15 is a good number tonight. But I honestly need somebody with experience, because while it's fun to teach a virgin, let's be honest, some virgins you don't know how to let go when you give them that good.
I think it's like more sex is good and it's healthy and it's positive.
Hey, someone just said it right too. She's got the experience to fuck you better than she fucked the last. Think of it, guys. It's like sports. You go to the big game. How do you get to the big game? With lots of practice. Okay?
Uh-huh.
I've had over 100 and... Are we on 50s? Yes, I think on the last podcast I did say it was like 153 or something like that. But I have like 150 something people of experience on my sexual list. I just haven't found the right key. And it's still a tight pussy. It's tight, honey. It's hard to put my finger in this shit.
What, like, another stupid shit people say is like, oh, she's had loads of dick. She must have a really loose pussy.
Oh my god, guys, you can't just have loose pussy from having too much sex. Okay, the vagina is very elastic. Mm-hmm. All right, yes, you might get a cavernous vagina. Okay, it's not her fault. Her vagina is just big. Yeah.
My nan, she also remembers her, like, I don't want to bring my nan into the show, but she would like it.
She said she was like,
apparently when the doctor, she was about to have her first kid, the doctor's like, you'll be fine, you're as big as a horse down there. 5'1".
Well, there you go.
Some women are cavernous, some women are little
enough. Embrace it. If it's pussy and you like that pussy, why does it fucking matter? If you like to dive in deep.
You know, I'm like, there's different, you know, it's like my girl, I don't think she mind me saying this, but she's like, literally loves big dicks. Big dicks, but vagina, doesn't matter. She's like, you know what, I can take it.
I'm gonna
take that guy off the market, because you know what, other women would be afraid of that shit.
She was doing society a favor. Now someone's singing the trace and I'm about to die.
I'm quite like a delicate flower. Like, if I saw like a really, really big dick, I'd probably feel, I'm like quite an anxious person.
Honey,
actually, on the down low.
That's why we call it running. When the guy, if you ever fuck a black guy and he says, don't run from it, please run. It's okay. If he says, don't run from it, no, if it's so big, I'm gonna run. What you trying to do with me?
Maybe I was a kid. Post kids.
Like, sorry, you're gonna have to put a syringe in that to finish off. I'm sorry. Just, and he's like, come here, girl. Oh my god, you guys are crazy with that. You guys are crazy. How much for that tight? Honey, I don't charge my pussy.
So this is the thing. You see, get this. If women feel more open and less judged, less valued on their sexuality, get this, guys. You don't have a sexual economy where you get some wives for free that you have to, like, you know, put them in the little wifey house and keep them there because, God forbid.
Oh, my God.
And then you have to get whores that you have to pay. This is the other thing that I had, a literal thing that somebody said to me. They were like, because you slept with more people, and let's be real here, my sexual number, I think...
It's a standard.
It's pretty normal. I'm living within the range of normal. And even if I'm not, who gives a shit? But the point is, they were like, I think you might be more likely to cheat.
What?
Chain of logic.
Okay, first of all, that's not what drives people to cheating because they had an X amount of partners. Driving to cheating is a mental thing.
Mm-hmm.
Before it's a physical thing.
That's it. That's what I think about infidelity is we get really, men and women, we get hung up. We think, oh, it's because she had this, like big tits, or this guy had this, he was just so sexy. No one fucking cheats because of a physical attraction or sexual desire or loss. That is a part of it, but it's part of a huge mental landscape of that person, which is like, you know what, they might feel like they're not really existing in life. Maybe they feel like they're not really living themselves. Maybe they feel insecure. Maybe there's this whole combination of factors that's going to clusterfuck and make someone cheat.
Exactly.
It's not that this person is really sexual, they're hypersexualized, they've had sex with those people, so they can have sex with more people. I mean, that's just, that's like ignorant and stupid.
It's pure ignorance. And I was just reading an article a couple weeks ago, and they were talking about the reasons why women cheat. And it's honestly because of the men that they've dealt with drove them to cheat. It's a mentality thing. If you're telling a woman or even a man, well, let's just put it this way. If you're telling your partner that they're not good enough to do this, they don't do this, they don't do that. Do you really want to come home to that? Would you want to have sex with that person?
Here's the thing. So I run these clubs called the HU Club. I've got one for men, one for women. And I ask the same question. Like, so I get the men and the women's group to send messages like over the wall to each other. So we can get that better understanding. And one of the questions we asked is like, have you ever cheated? If so, why? And one of the guys just came right out and he said it was just because he just didn't feel like he didn't feel desirable in his relationship anymore. He felt that, you know, he wasn't getting any attention. The relationship had got a bit toxic. They were arguing a lot. That is the kind of stuff that, you know, obviously everyone is responsible for their actions, but that created the climate where he then felt it was okay to cheat. And you know what? I think whenever shit goes down in a relationship, whether it's cheating or, you know, or anything else, it's a two-way dynamic.
It is.
Both times. Okay. Obviously, cheating is wrong and bad and we shouldn't condone it. This is not a good thing to happen. But if the person cheats, they're not just cheating out of the blue.
They're cheating for a reason.
Yeah.
They are cheating for a reason. Now, if you are the type of guy that is... Okay, perfect example. There was a guy that called into What Would You Do Today?
Mm-hmm.
And he said he has a baby mama, a girl on the side, and a wife. He got kicked out of the house because the wife told the baby mama that they, you know, that she knew about them fucking. And then the baby mama told the side chick that you need to stop fucking my man. So of course he lost all in the house. And then instead of learning the reasonings of his ways, he's like, well, should I go out in my car, you know, that I'm living in and just go find some other strange? Why are you going to get tangled up? Obviously, the problem is you're a man who doesn't know how to commit. So obviously, instead of stop putting your dick in everything, why don't you stop and just say, I need to be single.
Right.
Be single.
That's a simple solution, isn't it, really? It's like, instead of just lying, you could just say, I need to be single, or you know what, I really want the emotional intimacy. I like building that with people, but I need to do it in a non-commitment way.
There are people for that. There are people that do this all the time.
And people who like that. And the thing is, you find those people by going in and stating what you want straight away. And when you, I actually have a lot of respect for guys who, when I've met them, have said to me, like, you know, I'm not the guy that you're looking for to be your boyfriend or to be your husband. It's like, I will respect you. I want to spend time with you. I want to have fun. I want to have experiences. I want to have great sex. But like, that is my top limit of what I'm able to offer you.
And at least he was honest about it.
So much respect for those guys. And you know what, women, for the guys that are listening to this, women worry a lot about what does it mean between me and this guy? I've met this guy, I like him, I'm engaged with him, but is he presenting himself to me as a partner or is just someone who's interested in sex? And obviously it's not usually that binary, but women worry a lot about that process. So you can actually eliminate a lot of the worry if you just make a statement at the beginning, which just lets her know what your motivations are.
And that goes for the same with women. Like as a woman, I always tell my sexual partners, like, your sexual partner, there are others going to be coming after you and before you. If you want to be in this and you want to keep it 100 and you want to keep it to sex, then fine, we can keep it to sex. But I cannot give you the emotional needs of a girlfriend. I am not emotionally and mentally ready to put myself into a relationship. When I am, and you and I are compatible with it, then maybe so be it. And then someone else just brought up a point. Someone just said they can't be single because he probably depends on those females for every little thing. Again, if you are being dependent on these partners for other reasons, maybe you shouldn't be sticking your dick in them. Point blank, period. And another guy said, well, maybe the men need to start making their women come. How about it's not just the men that need to make the woman come? Vice versa. Ladies, stop being lazy in bed. Stop not wanting to give yourself to your partner. If you're complaining that your husband doesn't come for you, maybe you should take a look at how you are giving the sex back to him.
Right. One of my big principles that I talk about with the dating, just on the dating side of things, is just women. Let's be the club of personal responsibility, because I think personal responsibility is cool.
Yes.
So it's like, if a woman is there telling me, I've met a load of bad guys. I get it. Like, I've had some guys that have been kind of pretty shitty towards me, and that sucked. However, you do not get yourself anywhere by maintaining that mentality. You've got to say, look, I obviously chose to participate in a relationship with someone who, from the get-go, was not fulfilling my emotional needs, was showing that they were being deceptive, was doing some kind of nasty stuff. So as much as it's bad when someone cheats or says mean things or does something that's really inappropriate, you can either choose to say, every man or every guy I meet is just a dickhead, or they're nasty towards me, or I just attracted the wrong people. Or you can go, I accept that I didn't see that coming. I indulge in relationships when my boundaries and my personal, rules were broken. I sustained things way beyond the point that I should have done. If you get to that point, that's actually better, because personal responsibility gives you control, which means you can create change.
Gives you the best control and power. I mean, again, sex is a game. It's a mental game, it's a physical game. But I would say that sex is more like 90% mental and 10% physical. Mm-hmm. Because the lead up, think about it. What led you to have sex with this person? Whether or not they're your partner or just the partner for the night, what led you to want to have sexual relations? Mm-hmm. You probably had to have good conversation. You had to have some kind of line or a hook. Maybe it was just the way that you touched them. But again, you gotta think about, why are you here? Why are you in this moment with this person? And it comes down to it. Man, I don't know about you guys, but I think we hit it.
I basically, that quote that you said about, like, I fucked this many people to get to you.
To get to you!
I'm like, that is it. I was like, we should have just shut down the show then. That nailed it, girl.
I mean, it's the truth, though, people. Again, sexual history, you gotta think of it like this. You do all these things, you do all these practices. I mean, you probably went to college, or maybe you just went to high school, but you had to go somewhere to get to where you're going now, correct? So that's the way that you should see the sexual history. Don't be a dick about it. I'm not saying use the line verbatim, just use it at the right time, and then quote it on me. Then the person can come to me and be like, fuck you, bitch! This motherfucker! But again, yes, all those other men were practice for me, all those women, the 5 women I've ever bedded.
Oh, I got 15.
Yeah, you got more women.
Look at me, though.
You've got it on the women.
I was a man and bad for it. That counts.
Man, you've got it on the women. My women's side, yo, I'm weak. I have weak ass game when it comes to ladies. Yeah, I can tell a chick, shake your ass for me, and I can put this on my Instagram. Do you know how hard it is to get a woman into bed with me? Oh, that's a different story.
Oh, we gotta talk, Kara.
Oh, girl, we got to.
You know what? Like, I'm so heterosexual, but I did definitely have a period of my life, which is well done. You know what?
And I'm mad. I missed that opportunity. I feel like I could have had that the last time she was out here.
Now I get, like, with the guys that want to date me, they Google me and they go, oh, shit, what? You did a Channel 4 BBC documentary called By Curious Me? What's this? And it's like, I'm sorry. It's like, I was like, for myself, I'm definitely down for monogamy. I feel heterosexual at this point in my life. But you know what? Like, I definitely had a little question mark there for a bit.
You had your fun.
Question marks.
Yeah, so honey, it's okay. You became a lug. You graduated. Lug is lesbian until graduation. Take it any way that you want. But yes, Haley graduated. So now she is all teen men. So men, whoosh, men and women, whoosh. Now, Haley, before we let you go, I know that you have a couple things coming up. So let's talk about it.
For the women out there, if you've been listening to this advice, and you're actually going, oh my God, like, all this time I've been worried about having sex from the first date, and I realized that there is another way. If you go to HayleyQuinn.com/real life, R-E-A-L-L-I-F-E, and it's Hayley with a Y, by the way, HayleyQuinn.com/real life. I've got a free PDF there for you about how you can start talking to guys and approach men in real life. Because obviously, based on this information, I'm a fan of women saying hello to guys in a way that is suitably casual and under the radar and cool. And for the guys out there, if you want to go to HayleyQuinn.com/approach, I've got a free PDF and ebook for you as well about how to say hello. You know what? Like, I love guys, I love girls, I love people. I'm very much a liberal.
I know what I gotta go study. That PDF, y'all.
Yay, there's cheat sheet. Honestly, the cheat sheet, you get it on the phone, you're thinking about it, you see a girl that you want, or a guy that you want to talk to. I swear to God.
Get the Haley book. Got the Haley book.
It works, and if it doesn't work, you can tweet or Instagram at me and complain.
And where can they get at you?
Okay, at Instagram, I'm at Haley Quinn X. I know, and it's don't look up.
I'm sorry, I just put Haley Quinn. Oh, put that X, you guys, on the Instagram.
You can lobby who is at Haley Quinn on Instagram for me if you like. Not to be mean, but this girl has a private account, 200 followers.
Oh,
with the
girl.
With the phrase I love rats, cats, and tats, or something like that.
Oh yeah, no.
Which is like, you know what, each into their own and everything, but get the freaking Instagram handle up, girl.
Let me get that right. Everybody, don't look at the pin I put. At Haley Quinn X
on Instagram and at Haley Quinn on Twitter. So it's a bit of a mess, guys, but
do it. I'm gonna pin that. Okay, and then also you can follow me at Ms. Radio Sapphire. That's MSRADIOSAPPHIRE. And that's on everything. That's Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat.
Girl, go.
Yeah. You know what? If only Twitter can get on board with it, hello, trying to get verified. Like, I'm mad as hell. I know people who are verified with like 200 followers, 2,000 followers. I got like over 7,000. What the fuck? Verify me, bitches.
A little blue tick, man.
Man, it is brutal. But again, remember, there is no live show of Earplay. That's why I did the One Night in Sapphire special.
Hey, thanks for having me over.
Yes! I think we're gonna go get some drinks. Yes! Hashtag verify. Let's make that happen, girl. Yes, but Haley and I, we are signing off for tonight. I gotta say, thank you so much,
I've
Haley
had so
Quinn.
Much fun.
Thank you.
I've always
thank
had you. So much fun, though. I've drunk the appropriate amount of wine. I'm like, girl, let's go get a...
Yeah, let's go get a real drink. We're gonna have some real fun. So if you're on my Snapchat, y'all better check it out. Ms. Radio Sapphire.
See
good night,
guys.
Everybody.
Bye.
Love ya.
Thanks for listening. If you sexy motherfuckers can't get enough, be sure to subscribe to Sapphire's Airplay on iTunes and Podomatic.